This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Oh my. And that was, that is actually Lucas Senyatu Eti Africa. I'm sure you remember this song. This is one of the greatest songs, you know, of all times that I've ever listened to. And the time is 12 minutes past 4 o'clock. And we are having Lucas Senyatu on the interview, actually. And just to tell you more about him, Lucas Senyatu is a South African jazz musician, bassist, producer, and band leader. Throughout his illustrious career, he has collaborated with legends such as Prahuma Sikela, Sibongile Khumalo, Cleora Bosman, Rennie McLean, Themba Mkhize, Andy Leyenana, Khaya Mahlangu, Patty Austin, Simphiwe Dana, Musa Manzine, Keko Metswe, Stimela, Juliet Sepuma, Silalo Salota, and Ringo Madlingose, and many more. As Lucas Senyatu was raised in Mabatso, Senyatu honed his performance and songwriting skills at the Mabane Cultural Center before pursuing a communications degree at the University of Northwest, graduating in 1992. His debut solo album, All of Me, released through EMI in 2006 and earned 2 Summer nominations, and it's a single, Baby You, stopped Kaya FM's top 30 for over 2 months. After spending 15 years in Johannesburg, Senyatu returned to his community to teach bass guitar at Mabane in Mahikeng. Reflecting on his career breaking through in 1998, Senyatu recalls, I received a call from legendary Prahuma Sikela to join his band full-time. I immediately flew to the USA and Europe for a tour. We performed overseas every 3 to 6 months. Word quickly spread about the new bassist in town. And suddenly, all the big stars in the music industry wanted to work with me. In recent years, Senyatu has continued to write and produce music for other artists, including Thembi Seele and Sphokazi, and perform with Ken Fillmore from Trinidad at the latest Joy of Jazz Festival in Sentin. Baba Senyatu.
Yes, sir.
Njani.
Siyaphila, njani.
I'm very honored to have you on my show.
Sorry, I'm struggling to hear you. I'm hearing from a distance.
Okay, how is it now?
I'm well, my brother, man. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for taking your time and joining us here at MUT Radio.
It is a pleasure and honor for me.
Siyabonga kakhulu. And you know, as much as I read your bio, I'll remember vividly when I grew up, because I grew up watching Afro Cafe, and I used to watch you when you were part of the band of Umam Sibongile Khumalo there. And I'm like, so when I received the news about the interview, I was like, no man, wait a minute, where have I seen this person before? Because I've been in a space where Umam Sibongile Khumalo also was performing live, and it happened that mm-hmm. was part of the crew that was doing sound there, and I'm like, it looks familiar. And then as soon as I posted on Facebook, guess who commented first? Andy Leyenana.
Oh my God! Now that's my brother. That's my brother. We come a long way.
That's what he said to me. He calls me and said, "Hey, Tohozo, you are having a good time." I was like, "Yes." He said, "You know, that my brother, a humble man," and he started sharing good stories of your music journey and so forth. You know,
wow, that's amazing, man. You know, me and Andy Leyenana come a long way. I think I met. I saw Andy Leyenana the first time in Mafeking when he was part of a Gloria Bosman band. And I think Yeah, that's a long time ago, around the 90s or so, or late 90s.
Wow.
Yes, mid-90s, late 90s, that's when I saw him. And then when I moved to Johannesburg around, because I moved to Johannesburg in 98, when Brahew called me to join his band. And I think around the year 2000, that's when I met him officially, and we spent so much time together, you know, just music, playing music and studying music and just talking about music all the time.
Mm. I want to know, I want you to take us through where it all started, because I know exactly that you didn't start with the bass, you started with violin. So I want us to take us through your journey, where it all started and what inspired you from as being a soccer player and then immediately stop playing football and then to pursue, I think, your calling, if I may put it that way.
Man, first of all, I am shocked to hear that you know all the things about me. There's not a lot of people who knew that when I was a young boy, I used to play soccer. I don't know where you get that information from, but it's the truth. I'm actually, my heart is... Anyway, this is where it began, man. I think I must have been around 5 or 6 years old. I just love music. It's something that one cannot explain, really. And, you know, the funny thing is, in my family, I'm the only musician. Nobody's a musician. There's nobody in my family who's a musician. But anyway, because at the time when I was still young, around, you know, the early 80s, I couldn't afford, my mom could not afford to buy me a bass guitar. So I had to improvise. I had to make a guitar from like those old oil tins and a curtain string. So the sound that came out of that guitar was a bass sound. So that's how I gravitated towards playing bass. But anyway, so now the year is around 1984, and there was like a mother to youth orchestra where they were playing violins and cellos and stuff. So I was not really interested in classical music, but because it was music, so I thought, let me just join the orchestra. So that's when I picked up the violin from 1985, and then 1986, that's when I decided, okay, now I'm gonna join Mabana, because Mabana opened in 1986. That's when I started doing electric bass.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
It's a great story, I must say, and a good journey that you have been through. Because I would like to imagine, and I want you to tell us, to give an answer on this one, Kuti, how have you dealt with you being only the musician around the house? Because music comes with a lot of things and expertise, you know, of one J for all. When you're playing violins, you need to buy strings, and those strings are not cheap. Same as when you started to play bass, you know. I'm sharing this because I'm one of those people at home. I'm the only one, and my viola has been now like 3 years sitting down because I cannot afford strings, you know. But I want to know, how have you dealt with the negative that you received in your homestead or around the area that you wanna be, you think that you are a star, you growing up, you know? Because we come from different spaces and we have desires that, or we want to pursue careers and make sustainability and contribute to the society, and can also contribute at home and be a father figure and be an uncle and be a responsible man. But you know where it's, when it starts small, way at home. Now you are only child that's is crazy about music and the sounds and the rehearsals, sleepless night, not coming back home. You know, how have you dealt with all those challenges that a musician faces when they're growing up?
Hey, man, you know, it was a challenge in a sense that, you know, generally as black people, we grew up not, it's not many of us who grew up having a lot of money in the house. So my mom also didn't have enough money, you know, to, like, literally it was a challenge. Sometimes I was one of the top students at school and my teacher loved me. So I remember one time it happened that I could not go back to school to study music because my mom could not afford to pay my tuition fees, you know, my for my studies. So I had to drop out of school for 2 months. It was very stressful for me. But my mom has always been supportive of me and she trusted me. She knew that, you know, that's what I love. And I remember after the 2 months that I had dropped out of school and mom could afford to at least raise some money for me to go back to school. When my teacher saw me, he was really hurt. You know, he was like, oh, Lucas, you know, so you think you're a big star now. You don't come to classes. So I tried to explain to him, I said, no, sir, you know, it's not because I don't want to come and study. It's just I've been trying to gather some money to come back here. Anyway, fast forward, when I was doing my trick back in 1990, the local band there, they called me to come and join them as a bass player. And you can imagine I'm doing my trick and I moved from my mom's house to stay in an apartment all by myself. It was a big move, but even then my mom trusted me and she knew that I would be able to juggle between studying and, doing music. So, there were challenges here and there. But, you know, by the grace of God, I'm here now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, speaking of big moves, on your bio, you wrote, it's written that the joy that you had when the late Brahim Masikela, our legendary, called you to join his band and you started touring. Please, can you tell us what happened on, like, the moment? Can you share again that moment when you started to join the band and touring around the world?
Man, that was a crazy moment. I'll tell you something that happened before Brahim called me. So, like I said, I was playing with a local band in Mafikeng from 1990 to 1997, right? So yes. I'm done with my degree as well. I've got a degree in communication, but I'd never used it because music has always been my first love. But anyway,
wow.
1998, I'm sitting at home and there's no gigs, there's no work, there's nothing. Then I'm beginning to stress, you know? Then I remember calling a friend of mine who was at the time a boss at the SABC in Bob TV at the time. So I thought, well, I might as well use my degree and go do something. Because at the time, my girlfriend then was pregnant. We had just had a baby who was about a few months in 1998. So I had to really go and look for work. So I decided, okay, I'm going to use this degree. I speak with this lady. She says, okay, Lucas, the money's not going to be that great, but at least there's a contract for 6 months that's going to start around June until December. So I was like, okay, cool. Because I was thinking this music thing is not working. Anyway, come June, I get a call from Sipho Mabuse, Hopsticks. I don't know where he got my number from. It's really? Like, hey, Lucas, man. Yeah. So he's like, hey, Lucas, man. Have you got is your passport okay? Can you travel? I'm like, yes, I can. Imagine I had forgotten completely that I had promised somebody that I'm going to start doing the Bob TV thing.
Wow.
So I agree with, this is a Saturday when Hotpicks calls me. Okay. We agree. Okay. I send the passport copies. I send everything. he had told me that there was a month tour in Germany.
Mm.
Cool. Sunday comes, I get a call from Brahu.
Hi, Bo.
And I'm like, what? So I think, if I remember well, I think when I thought somebody was just really pranking me, I think I dropped the call because I'm thinking, nah, it can't be. You must think, no, it can't be. He calls back and he's like, hey, Melody, it's Luca, it's Brahu, man.
Wow.
Are you available for the gig? Because next week we're doing a gig in Eastern Cape, and then after that we're touring the USA. I'm like, hey, Brahu, man, I just agreed to do a tour with Sipho Hot Sticks. So I'm not sure. He's like, no, Hot Sticks is my light, man. Don't worry about that. I'll sort him out. So now here I am feeling bad that I'm dumping somebody who's giving me a break. And, you know, anyway, but the reason why, then I found out later that the reason why Brahu called me is because it was through John Seloloane, who was a guitar player at the time for Brahu. So we used to work with Brahu, John Seloloane back in Mafikeng.
Mm.
So he must have decided, okay, he's going to tell you that, you know, there's a young bass player in Mafikeng. If ever he needs a bass player, they can call me. Mm. So that's how I joined Brahu, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a great story. I want us to take a break, and I'm going to play one of your songs. It's Stoki. Could you tell us what inspires you to write, or your composition? Is it maybe you dream of a song, or you'll have like a bass line that keeps on coming, you know, and then you start writing. So can you tell us what inspires your music, like to write your composition?
Well, as far as this music is concerned, I think, man, life inspires me, man. We all go through different things in life, and people that we're relating to, we friends could be going through something, whether it's something good or something bad, we learn about these things. And nature, for instance, there's a song that I wrote that's called Busa on this new EP.
Yes.
This song is really, I know that I don't know if I and I'm very careful not to use the word loosely and say normal people, because I would like to think we are not that normal as artists, because we observe things that otherwise ordinary people don't.
Mm.
With me, like for instance, as far as this song is concerned, Busa, I would sit by my house and look out the window, and I would see the trees moving, you know, like when it's a bit windy. We know that it's windy because the branches are moving, right? But the truth of the matter is we cannot really see with our naked eyes the wind we're talking about. So this wind, we assume, is there even though it's invisible.
Wow.
And when you go to the beach and look at the you look at the sea, at the waves. The waves keep coming and they keep coming. But it's very strange that we don't really see the force that makes these waves come over and over again. And then it for me, when I observed all these things, and then it came into my mind that, okay, I could write a song about this, because that means in the eye of my mind, that is like the wind. The trees, when they're moving like that, the waves and the rivers moving and everything about nature, for me, it appears to me that that's an orchestra playing a music that is being conducted by this invisible force, and the invisible force is God himself. So basically, that's basically what the song is saying. It's saying reign, as in the king, God who's the king. Mm. He's the one that makes it rain. He's the one that makes the sun shine. You know what I mean? So nature is like an orchestra that's playing the music that's conducted by God.
Wow. That is so powerful. We're going to play Busa instead of the other one. But before that, let's pay our bills and then we go straight to the song. And we're going to come back with more of the conversation with Lucas Senyato. Stay tuned.
All right.
You're listening to MUT Radio. This Transport Month, as we drive towards a future of safer, more efficient and sustainable transport, MUT Radio is here to keep you informed. From road safety tips to the latest updates in public transport, we're celebrating the people and innovations that keep our nation moving. Join the journey with us all month long as we explore how transportation shapes our everyday lives. MUT Radio, driving change together. You're listening to MUT Radio. Shape and own your future.
Hello, my name is Rose.
And my name is Stella, and you're listening to MUT Radio.
Hello, my name is Isabel.
Hi, my name is Soka. We're from the Netherlands, and you're listening to MUT Radio.
You're listening to MUT Radio. Shape and own your future.
And there was Busa by Lucas Senyato. Bab Lucas, are you still there?
I'm still here, my brother.
Wow. You know, you took us to a journey of life with this song. After what you just explained, I just felt it, you know, especially that part where the cello comes in.
Oh.
That vibration and the harmonies, the backing vocalists, the vocals. Man.
Oh man. Thank you. I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, we thank you actually because of taking your time and to inspire and also to make us reflect to our own lives as well through your music. Because I could literally sit and just, you know, romance on the song, you know, keep on dreaming on the song, you know.
Yeah,
Bab Senyato. Kasasovala, but I wanted to know, who have like you collaborated with on your new project, and yeah.
You mean on this album?
Yes.
Yes, on this album, I've got Africa Mkize on piano, and I've got Spiwa Shiburi, very beautiful jazz drummer who is like taking the jazz world by storm. You know, I think every other artist wants to work with him. Very humble young man too. Absolutely gifted. He was playing drums. And I've got Kale Makhene, an old friend of mine. He's playing percussions. I'm playing synthesizers. Some keyboards and synthesizers in some places, and I'm playing double bass and electric bass. And there's a brother called Sfiso Khanyile who was leading on that song, lead voice. And I've got Kuki Bunzi on backing vocals, and I've got Pearl Shangiwe on backing vocals as well.
Wow, I'm lost of words because you're mentioning also big names that you just work with on this project.
Yeah, these are old friends that I've worked with, man, you know, many years ago. And it's just a pity that, you know, death robs us of great talent. One of the people that I would have loved to collaborate with was the late Shaluza Max. It's a pity he's gone, but you know Shaluza Max, man.
I know.
What a voice. I really, really wish he was around. I would have loved to work with him. And then on guitars, before I forget, there's a gentleman I've worked with many years ago too, for years. His name is Joel Klein.
Satsugi, because you just mentioned the Shalom Zemex, and then there's something happened, like there's a memory that I was, But anyway, can we continue? Because I have a question for you, Etty. Like, since you've been in the industry for so long, maybe you could give us an advice, and you could tell us, how has the music industry changed over the years, and what advice would you give us to young musicians starting to be musicians or aspiring to be musicians?
I'm struggling a little bit to hear you. I don't know if it's just my phone or what, but I didn't really hear that question very well. Can you speak maybe closer to the phone or something? I don't know.
Okay. How is it now? So
I think I can hear you now.
The question is, how has the music industry changed over the years, and what advice would you give to young musicians entering the scene of music?
Man, the music industry has changed for real. It's almost like it's an 180. I mean, we come from an era where I don't know if it's and I don't know much about economics and how things work and leadership in politics, but I have a suspicion that our government is not really supporting us. Because when you go back to those years, I mean, I grew up around the 80s, where we used to have your Lion Lager road shows. I don't know, those that are over 40, 50 like myself, they would know about those festivals. There used to be lots and lots of festivals. Musicians used to work a lot, you know. And I think it's because the corporate was putting money into the entertainment. So we are living in a world right now where it's almost like people view us as just entertainers, not really people that work. You know what I mean? So
yes,
it's really, really a problem, man. So we've got youngsters going to the university. I'll paint you a clear scenario. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Here is Thabo studying law at UNISA or at VETS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Uzbusiso studying music at UCT, right?
Yes.
When they start studying from 1992 and they finish their degrees, let's say 96 maybe, okay? Who is likely to get a permanent job between the two? I will tell you without a doubt that the one that are studying law. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is systems in place all over the nine provinces where you've got regional courts, constitutional courts, high courts, and all types of courts, right? So when this young man that finishes studying law looks for a job, he can go serve article somewhere and get a permanent job. But check this out. The one that was studying music at UCT has got almost zero chance of getting a job. The reason I'm saying that is because we don't have technicons or universities all over the country that specifically teach music. So that when he finishes studying, then they can go and perhaps go teach music there. But also you need to understand that music, not everybody that's studying music wants to be a teacher or lecturer.
Yes.
Some people want to play music like myself. Where do I play that music? Because there are no outlets. There are no jazz clubs. There is no there are no systems in place from government where government says, okay, from January to December, we are going to create X amount of work, corporate gigs for all the musicians, not just privileged, selected few. So can you see the challenge that we have as artists, as musicians? We literally don't exist in the plans of government. And now we have the Department of Art and Culture, which up to today, I can guarantee you, they don't have a database of musicians in this country. So how do you create work for people that you don't even know? Because right now, the only artists that keep getting work is the same people that are recycled over and over again, the prominent ones, and some of those that are connected politically to those that are in power. So it's difficult for musicians. And you know, people keep saying, people that are ignorant, I heard somebody saying yesterday, yeah, but tell me, why is it that artists are always complaining that government is not supporting them and they die as paupers? And I'm like, you know, it's difficult to try and explain this to somebody who is asking from a point of ignorance, because people judge us. They think we get money and we waste money. No, it's not like that. We don't have job opportunities. There's absolutely nothing. If I don't go and work, I don't get paid. So the advice that I have for young people that are studying music, or those that are, they've got the talent, that they love to do what they're doing, I'm just going to say, just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, the word goes around and somebody just might pick you. You can't keep a good man down. If you've got the gift, somebody else, even if it's somebody from overseas, they may recognize you and you might get an opportunity of a lifetime. So don't give up.
Yes, that's the spirit that we have. Don't give up. And speaking of going forward, I would like to ask, what do you think is essential for a band or a musician to succeed in music?
Could you ask that again? I didn't get it.
What do you think is essential for a band or musician to succeed in music?
First of all, the attitude. You need to get your attitude at check, because I have noticed that especially younger musicians that are coming up now, you see, when you're gifted, when you're talented, just remember that you are part of the whole. If you're a bass player or if you're a guitar player and somebody calls you to come and do rehearsals for a certain gig, you have to be on time. Because if you don't respect time, time is money. If you don't show up on time, you may sit with all the talent and never ever work for the rest of your life. And you might find that those that are less talented than you are doing all the work because the attitude is right. And you have to humble yourself and you have to respect people. And if somebody gives you the music to study it, to check it before you rehearse, do your work at home so that when you get to the rehearsals, the work goes smoother. I'm saying this because in 2018, I got a call that the people of Disney wanted me to come and play with the Lion King, to go on tour with them.
Wow.
So, you know what I did? Because I'm a person that I'm such a perfectionist, I like to prepare myself. I kindly asked them, I said, okay, guys, please send me the charts so that I can study the music. They sent me the charts, and they sent me some MP3 so that I can make reference. I spent months working on this music. I would literally sometimes take almost a day just studying one song. By the time I flew to our tour began in Manila in the Philippines, by the time I flew in there and we started rehearsals, the conductor was his jaws were dropping because I rehearsed from the first song to the last song without any stop, without any, no fault. And he was like, wow, man. So you know the music. We're ready to perform tomorrow. We were worried that you wouldn't know the music. I'm like, hey, man, I try to work on the music. But this is the thing that you do. You have to be prepared all the time.
Yeah.
And as a result, I stayed with the tour from 2018 to 2022 when the tour ended.
Wow.
Had I not been prepared, I would have been fired on the spot.
Sure.
So it's important for youngsters to know that when you are humble, when you show respect, it's for your advantage because the word goes around. People start talking, hey, we were working with this singer, man. This singer is a beautiful singer. They're always on time and they do the job well. So it's important to be humble and work hard at what you do. Try and practice as much as you can.
Wow. Babs Nyathi, siyabonga kakhulu with those kind words that you just given us.
Thank you.
But in closing, where can one find your music? And if they want to get hold of you, where can they find you? Please feel free to share also your contact details, your number.
Okay. They can find me on Facebook, and I'm also on Instagram at Lucas Nyathi. And my music, they can find it on Apple Music, on YouTube Music. They can find it on, what's this other one? I'm forgetting all these other platforms. But I think most of this music, they can download it on most of these platforms.
Siyabonga kakhulu Babs Nyathi for blessing us here at MUT Radio. We're going to close this conversation with one of your songs, Stoki.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.